How's it going, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of the Vietes Rundown. I'm your host, Manny Vietes. So in this episode, it's going to be a special pre-draft episode. I'm heading to New York tomorrow for the NBA draft, and I'm going to be there through Friday. The draft is on Thursday, and I'll be interviewing some of the presumed Kings draft picks on Wednesday. So just stay tuned, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, and look for all the content that I'm about to put out there. It should be good, and hopefully the Kings draft De'Aaron Fox. That would be a great, great week. All right, so obviously we've seen some switches in the ordering of the draft so far. The Sixers traded their third pick with the Boston Celtics for their first pick because obviously the Sixers need help. They don't want to draft another small forward, Josh Jackson. They don't want to draft another small forward, Jason Tatum. They want to draft a guy who can literally put the team on their back, pick up a point guard to go alongside Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. That guy's name is Markelle Fultz. He's by far the most athletic guard in the draft. He's 6'4", has a 6'10 wingspan. The guy is long. The guy can shoot 40. He shoots 41% from three. And the guy can take it to the basket. He's shifty. He's a very, very versatile player. So the Sixers saw something in him. They obviously wanted to move up to go and take him. And they gave the Celtics quite a lot. And if you're the Celtics and if you're Danny Ainge, you're kind of just, you're kind of just taking it all in right now. You had traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett a couple years back for these picks from the Brooklyn Nets. And now that Nets pick resulted in you trading it to the Sixers to only bounce back two picks to the third pick while still accumulating future picks. So let me just break down this trade for you. So what happened was the Boston Celtics and the Sixers, they swapped their picks from the first to the third. The Sixers ended up getting the first pick, Celtics getting the third. The Sixers gave their 2018 first-round pick to the Celtics as well. So next year, if you're a Celtics fan, you guys are in luck. You guys are going to have the 2018 first-round pick via the Nets from the years past, and you're going to have the 2018 first-round pick via the Sixers, via Lakers or Kings. And then you guys are going to have your own 2018 first-round pick and another first-round pick as well. So you guys have four first-round picks next year if you're a Celtics fan. So I feel like you guys need to be happy about that. It's going to be crazy to see what Danny Ainge does with all these picks accumulated. And then if you look forward to 2019, you've still got three first-round picks coming up. Coming from a team that just made the playoffs as the one seed in the East, even though they got swept by LeBron, but coming from a team that still is the one seed in the East, and you have all these number one picks accumulating, and first and potential, high picks depending on all these teams and how the Nets turn out next year and the Lakers or the Kings, you definitely have some assets, and Danny Ainge realized that, and that's why he wanted to switch that up with the Sixers, but this is going to prove where Danny Ainge, If it turns out that Markelle Fultz is this crazy turns out to be an MVP, all-star caliber player, so be it. Danny Ainge messed up, but at this point in time, Danny Ainge has Isaiah Thomas. He's one of the best point guards in the NBA. Was in the MVP race throughout the whole year, averaged 30 points a game, basically. They're not really looking for that dominant score. They have one. They need the pieces around that score right now. So if they can pick up scoring, if they draft Jason Tatum at the third spot, for instance, he's going to be a guy that can go in there and immediately produce for that team. So I definitely see the vision from Danny Ainge, but you definitely got to take into account that if Markelle Fultz does turn out to be that good player, it's definitely going to have a dampening effect on. I'm wishing them the best. I hope that this move was a correct move, and I hope it was a move that will definitely propel the Celtics to potentially be better in the future, because right now the East is weak and they need to do something about it right now. So if they're able to get somebody in free agency like through trades like a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler, then that's definitely the direction that the Celtics need to go right now. They don't need to be playing around with these first-round picks and watching them develop. The NBA is just not built for that right now. You need to compete right now. There's if like if Like if you want to sit there and build a process like the Sixers have done for years, then go ahead and do it. But it's going to take you 5 or 6 years. And right now you got Isaiah Thomas on your team, Al Horford that came there to win a championship or like potentially be on a good team. And you have a good coach with Brad Stevens there. You can't let all that go to waste right now. You've got to do something about it. And I know that Danny Ainge sees that. He definitely sees the potential in that team. So I feel like that's a great move. It's also a great move for the Sixers too. You know, like even though Ben Simmons did not play a game last year and Joel Embiid only played half the season, the like anticipation and the, you know, charisma and like the whole, you know, organic chemistry of this team is like from the outside looking in, if they end up drafting Fultz, it's going to be something to watch. This is probably going to be one of the most electrifying teams in the NBA probably within the next 2 years. Maybe next year, you never know. They could just come out and just kill it. You never know. Maybe if Ben Simmons comes out and starts playing point guard most of the time, or they might just give that role to Markelle Fultz, kind of how like a LeBron and Kyrie is. I'm not comparing them in any way, but just saying that could probably be like a close, you know, like a comparison, because that's the only other point forward that's probably going to be in the NBA for a long while. Okay, so I just wanted to cover that whole Sixers and Celtics trade. That was pretty crazy. Happened yesterday, and I haven't got around to it, and didn't really want to put it out there. But some other news came out today as well. The Cavs and David Griffin parted ways, which, you know, is probably better for the Cavs as well, because I've heard throughout numerous people throughout the league, they've been talking about the last couple of days, there's been a lot of trade talks revolving around Jimmy Butler and around Paul George. And David Griffin has not been capitalizing on these trades and has been making, you know, has been degressing in talks with these players. And, you know, a lot of the executives in Cleveland, and a lot of people like around that organization were just, you know, bad mouthing Griffin and just saying, hey, you know, we need you out of here. Like there must have been, I don't know what it is. There's some rumors about how Kyrie was almost traded this week for Jimmy Butler or something like that. I don't know to what extent those rumors are true, but you know, if it's something along those lines, you know, definitely something like that needs to be addressed. Or if you have an opportunity to get like a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George, and you haven't, you know, if you don't capitalize on the opportunity, it's kind of like, what are you doing? You know, you just lost to the Warriors in the finals 4-1. You need some defense. You need some scoring. So everyone knows, you know, everyone knows the system out there. Everyone knows what you need to do. You know, they need scoring. And so if you can, if he wasn't bringing that, then I can see why people were mad at him. But you know, it, you know, by looks of it, I actually saw a LeBron James tweet right after this whole situation was kind of going down today. And I'll just read off the tweet for you guys right here. He said, quote, "If no one appreciated you, Griff, I did. And hopefully all the people of Cleveland. Thanks for what you did for the team for 3 years. We got one." And an emoji of a championship ring. I mean, a championship trophy, end quote. So, you know, obviously LeBron's not going to badmouth a GM that he just had. He, you know, he loved him. He came back to Cleveland, you know, won a championship. All is good. LeBron's going to probably stay there for another year and go out and try to win another one. And he wants to build a, you know, LeBron comes out there and says he doesn't want to build a super team, but he knows who he's facing on the other side. Now he's facing, you know, like a quadruple headed sword and Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. You know, he needs the extra help. He needs that extra score. So if there's an opportunity to get one of these guys in these coming weeks, either Jimmy Butler or Paul George, you got to do it. You got to just got to put all your marbles in one basket at this point, because LeBron might leave after next year. Might sound crazy, but you know, it could be happening. It could be more real than what people think. He could be going to California somewhere. So hopefully that doesn't happen. I would like to see LeBron stay there and not get traded again, because he will definitely take a lot of heat for that again, and I don't want to argue with people about that for the second time. So, all right. So, you know, I haven't got around to doing a finals recap. I just want to just brush up on it a little bit. So, obviously, the Warriors won 4-1. The turning point was definitely Game 3. The Cavs were up late in the fourth quarter, and it was just an onslaught from the for the final 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. You know, if the Cavs, I believe, if the Cavs would have won that game, and they won Game Four, you know, that would have been a whole different series going back to Oracle on a game four. On a game five. It would have been a whole different, you know, dynamic. LeBron would have been in, you know, he would have had the foot on the pedal. Everyone would have been involved rather than just LeBron. You saw LeBron didn't take the foot off the gas the whole playoffs, really, but in the finals he averaged a triple double, you know, and in a sense, if they were 2-2, most of the guys around the team would be able to feel more energized and feel more willing to do things. And I feel like that would have been the case. If they wouldn't have let down that lead late in the fourth quarter in Game 3, things would have definitely been different. I feel like the series would have been tied 2-2 going back to Golden State, and the Cavs would have probably picked up that one game in Golden State, and then they would have picked up that game coming back on home. I almost guarantee you the Cavs would have won that series if they would have won Game 3. That was a pivotal point in that series. That was, it was game three. So, yeah, that would have been, you know, if, you know, and I'm glad LeBron didn't get swept, because that would have literally put a damper on his legacy. You know, more than it already is from him losing, you know, so many finals. If he would have got swept in the finals, that would have been, you know, big X on his transcript. Even though, you know, he's, you know, has all these accolades and everything, but if you get swept in the finals and he got swept in the finals earlier in his career in 2007. If you get swept in two finals and you're going to be called one of the best players of all time, that just doesn't sound right. And I'm just glad that didn't happen, because LeBron definitely is one of the best players of all time, and maybe will be the best. You never know, but that's safe for another time. I just didn't want that to happen right now. You know, Kevin Durant won his first title, and there was so much going on with this guy throughout the whole year. Him leaving Oklahoma City, him coming to Golden State, playing with a super team, leaving Russell Westbrook, not talking to Russell Westbrook after he left. It was just an ongoing story, like, you know, this guy's a cupcake, this guy's coming here to win a ring, this guy don't care about his fans, this guy don't care about the city of Oklahoma. You know, who are all these people to judge him, you know? Everyone wants to get a championship. Everyone is here for the same thing. Everyone's here to make money, take care of their family, and be the best at their sport. You know, and he literally went out and did that. Okay, he joined a super team in Golden State, but okay, Steph Curry wasn't getting paid a max where he couldn't go over there. Steph Curry was getting paid $12 million a year, and they were able to sign Kevin Durant to that deal last year. So, you know, if the team has the ability to do it, then I don't see a problem with it. But if teams are out there complaining and, you know, whining about this, then sorry, get better, draft better. That's simple. That's it. The reason why Kevin Durant went there is because the Warriors drafted better than every other team. The Warriors drafted better than every team. They got Steph Curry, even though it was years back. They got Klay Thompson. They drafted Draymond Green in the second round. And they became a championship team on their own accord. And then that's how you attract championship level players like Kevin Durant. You know, it's not the other way around. You know, these players wanted these players wanted to play with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant didn't want to play with these players. Kevin Durant wanted to play with the organization that was moving in the right way. You know, people get construed in the whole mindset that he went to go, you know, do that. No, Kevin Durant was Kevin Durant before Steph Curry was Steph Curry, and before Klay Thompson was Klay Thompson, before Draymond Green was Draymond Green. You know, that's what everyone needs to stop. You know, just wrap your head around that for a second, and then everything will be home free from there. So you know, I'm happy that Kevin Durant won. If you watch the post game interview, it looks like his mom still beats him up, or still, you know, just gives him a whooping every now and then. So that was actually pretty funny. So moving on from Kevin Durant. Andre Iguodala is looking to test free agency coming this offseason. He's been a pivotal part in the Warriors' success throughout the regular season and throughout the playoffs. Definitely throughout the playoffs, as he won in that first championship with the Warriors. He won the Finals MVP because he was locking up LeBron the whole time. And, you know, this would be a big decision for him. He would definitely have to take less money, I believe, if he stays with the Warriors. It's not even close. He probably will have to. But, you know, if he wants to go to a different team, he could probably start, to be honest with you, if he goes to a lower level team. But after playing for a championship caliber team for so long, I don't know why you would want to go and do that. It's just, you know, it's at this point in his career, he has two championships now. Why not just stay with the team and just take a pay cut and just play with the best players in the NBA? You know, just do that, Andre. Or unless, like, if you're not about chasing championships and you want to go play for your hometown and you want to go play for somewhere that, you know, that you always wanted to play for, go ahead and do it. That's your personal decision. But if you want to still win championships, I would definitely guarantee you just recommend you to stay with the Warriors or go to Cleveland and go join LeBron. Anyways, so that's it for Andre Iguodala. Talked a little bit about the Sixers pick, a little bit about the finals, and now I'm going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and what they need to do with their organization moving forward. Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love are definitely the big question marks on that roster right now. They're soaking up a lot of money. J.R. Smith is too, and Iman Shumpert. You have those pieces to move. You have players like Jimmy Butler and Paul George already told the Indiana Pacers that he's not going to re-sign with them after next season. So the Pacers are definitely shopping him right now, and the Bulls are reportedly shopping Jimmy Butler too, which I guarantee you he probably will be traded or on a different team by the start of next season, and the same thing for Paul George as well. So it's coming up very, 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 very soon. It's going to be happening within the next 3 days. So I believe that, you know, if the Cavs put the right, you know, pieces together for this trade, they'll be able to maybe acquire both of them. And here, you know, hear me out. If they were to get rid of, you know, Kevin Love and get rid of Tristan Thompson, you would have and then pick up Jimmy Butler and pick up Paul George. You would have Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and LeBron James starting 1 through 4. And that starting lineup right there has the best defensive team of all time written all over it. You know, Jimmy Butler's a defensive player. Paul George is a defensive player. LeBron's a defensive player. It's probably one of three of the top 10 defensive players in the league, and they're all going to be on the same team. That just looks great to me. If they were to go play the Warriors, that would be an even matchup. Like, that would be the only even matchup probably that you can probably put together. So definitely LeBron's pushing for that. I could definitely see that happen. And now that Dan Gilbert's gone, they're going to hire a president of basketball operations very, very soon. The Cavs are looking to hire someone right away. And there are reports that the first person in line is Chauncey Billups, which I love that decision. I love that. If that happens, that would be great for both Chauncey's legacy and for the Cavaliers. You got a championship mindset in there, a guy with very, very, very high basketball IQ. He knows a lot about the game. It's not just about X's and O's for him. It's about other things off the court. It's about mental things, and that's the type of person you need in the organization, and especially from a person that's experienced it. Experienced a championship caliber team and was a part of a, you know, an organization that was, you know, on the low end for a very, very long time, and then they had to deal with the Lakers being great in the early 2000s, and then they ended up coming on top one of the years. So, you know, Chauncey Billups definitely knows how it is to build a championship team from the draft and from scratch too. So that would be a great move. I definitely see the Cavs doing something within the next 3 days, so stay tuned. It's going to be out there on the news. Guarantee it. The Cavs are going to make a move. Or the Bulls will, or the Pacers will, and those two players from either Paul George or Jimmy Butler is going to be traded. So just keep a good eye. Just keep an eye out on that. And so that's it for the Cavs. I could talk about almost any NBA team right now because it's one of the hottest times of the year for trades, but I'll save that for my episode that I'll make in New York when I get there on Wednesday. I'll do a podcast mid-afternoon, give that out to you guys after I go interview some of the players. All right, so I just want to talk a little bit about the draft. I'll do a little draft board of mine, just do the top 5 picks that I think are about to happen. So, you know, obviously the Sixers and Celtics swap the pick. Sixers are definitely going to draft Markelle Fultz. I have no doubt in my mind, 100%. That's the reason why they switched the pick. So Markelle Fultz going to the Philadelphia 76ers. And the second pick is the Los Angeles Lakers. And I, you know, everyone has their, you know, their like their, everyone's determined that this, that Lonzo Ball is going to go to the Lakers. I'm going to go out there on a limb and say that he doesn't. I could probably almost 60 or 70% guarantee that the Lakers won't. They're going to probably draft Josh Jackson. I'm just putting that out there. The Lakers will probably draft Josh Jackson. And I don't see why they would draft like, I see why they got Jordan Clarkson, they got D'Angelo Russell, Josh Jackson, Brandon Ingram. That'd be a great starting, that'd be a great core right there to start with, a great young core. Magic Johnson definitely knows what he's doing, so if, you know, if he wants to draft the LA boy and Lonzo Ball, go ahead. But I don't see that happening. I've heard it's from many people around the league that that's not going to happen. So just go, just wait on it for a draft day. It's a very, very high possibility that Josh Jackson gets picked second. Celtics will draft third now, and I think that the Celtics will draft Jason Tatum. I feel that Celtics need a scorer from that three position. They have, you know, and Jason Tatum is without a doubt the most NBA ready player out of anybody in this draft. If you want to insert Jason Tatum onto a roster tomorrow, he'll go in there and score 16 points a game. There's no question about that. It's just the fact that will that be his ceiling, 15, 16 points a game, and that's, you know, that's something to be found out. But I personally think that that will just be a ceiling, that he'll just be able to stay at that 16, 17 point range throughout his career. He'll be a good, you know, piece for a, you know, for a championship team, and that'll be a great fit for him going to Boston. So, you know, and Danny Ainge came out and said they were going to pick the player that they were going to pick at one would have been the same player that they're going to pick at three. So if they weren't going to draft Fultz and they're not going to draft Lonzo Ball, then it's either Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox, or Jason Tatum. And they haven't had Josh Jackson over there, so it's probably going to be Jason Tatum. I'm not going to put all my money on it yet, but I would definitely say that that's my prediction. And then the Suns come up next. This is the toss up right here. Lonzo Ball, I think, will still be on the board at four. You guys might think I'm crazy, but I think he still might be on the board at four when the Suns pick. And if this happens, I don't know if the Suns will draft Lonzo Ball. Like, I don't think that the Suns want to draft Lonzo Ball. It would not make sense to me. Like, if De'Aaron Fox is still on the board and the Suns have the pick, why not draft De'Aaron Fox? Why not draft a guy that's, you know, familiar with the other guys? Like, you would have Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox, and Eric Bledsoe, three Kentucky guards, all played under Calipari's system. All have the same work ethic, know how things work. You know, that, and the Suns are definitely thinking about that too. You know, if there's two point guards available at four and five, I'm going to draft the person that my players are more accustomed to. You know. And I definitely can see that happening. De'Aaron Fox going to the Suns at four. But maybe now, you know, Lonzo Ball might be available when the Kings draft. And that's what scares me. I don't want Lonzo Ball on the Sacramento Kings. But, you know, hey, if Lonzo gets drafted by us, then I will gladly cover him and gladly be a good media bystander. But hey, I want De'Aaron Fox. Hopefully De'Aaron Fox lands to the Kings. Hopefully he's still on the board around that time. I would definitely want him on our roster. And then when we draft at 10, hopefully maybe like Zach Collins or Lauri Markkanen. We'll just have to see what happens come Thursday. If I have any more information on anything that's going to happen, I'll put it up on my Twitter. I'll Instagram it. I'll be in New York tomorrow night. Be at draft workouts and draft interviews all day on Wednesday, so just stay tuned for that, guys. I'll keep you guys updated on anything I find out about Cleveland or any, you know, juicy trade talks, because literally the NBA draft is the Christmas of trades and Christmas of picks getting swapped. Crazy things happening. It happens every single year. If you have a Twitter account, literally follow every person that's a basketball head. You know, whether it's a writer, NBA organizations, agents, anybody, literally Twitter's buzzing for the hour before the draft until an hour or 2 hours after the draft. Literally, players are getting traded, teams are moving up, teams are always trying to do something to better their organization, and that's the best part about the draft. I'm so happy I get the opportunity to go there and be there for a couple of days and be submerged in the whole system and see how everything runs over there. So I'll keep you guys posted. And also a fun fact about the draft: this is the first time ever that two drafts in a row, the same five teams drafted in the same positions. So it's, you know, obviously 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now that the Celtics switched picks with the 76ers, it's the same draft order as last year. So that's a little fun fact I have for you guys to end my podcast today. Thank you guys for listening. I'll keep you guys posted. Follow me on Twitter. I will be, obviously I'll be in New York tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening. If you guys have any questions, just hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. All right, guys. Peace.